Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Digital.
Hand off to the right side of Corey Grant. There's some room for Corey. In the Colts territory, 45, go to 40, into the open field of the 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Corey Grant has gone the distance and extended the lead for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Van Castle drops the throw, throws the left side, that ball is
intercepted. Jalen Ramsey, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey, and the Jags are pouring it on the Tennessee Titans.
Jaguars Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osier, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good morning and welcome to Jaguars Drive Time on TuneIn Radio and on Twitter at Jaguars. I'm Brian Sexton, along with John Osier and Ashlyn Sullivan. We'll get to what this is in the next couple of minutes. But first of all, let's start with some headlines. The first is the Jaguars start a brand new digital media show today called Jaguars Drive Time. I'm Brian Sexton. That's John Osier. And
yes, it is.
This is groundbreaking.
Yes, it is.
And the question for you is, are you ready for it?
Well, I'm ready. I've never been on this side of the studio, so I'm a little off kilter.
It is throwing you
a little bit off. But I'll be all right.
A couple of headlines, and then we'll introduce Ashley and talk about big things. The first is that the Jaguars have five new players this
morning. Yes, they do.
Five. Big number.
It is, at the same time, you've been around the league long enough. The bottom of the roster, I get that five is a big number. It's 9% or whatever, which is a big number. But at the bottom of the roster, these games are decided by the top 45, 48 players. I'm never that concerned when you turn the bottom of the roster, especially when you've got a new regime, which Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone, in a real sense, are a new regime. Remember, when Tom Coughlin took over early in this offseason, a lot of these guys that they picked up were already on 90-man rosters. So this is the first chance at a lot of these guys. It's never surprising when you have this kind of a churn in the first year with a guy here.
All right, so the observation that comes to mind first, and that most people will see, is that Brandon Allen is gone.
Yes.
Right? And he played pretty well the other night. Now, he threw the three interceptions, but
right.
He showed arm strength. Okay, we're talking about a prospect here, right? We're not talking about
Correct.
A guy you're expecting to go out and start. So I'm talking about his arm strength. I'm talking about his mobility out of the pocket. I get the three interceptions, but he looked like a guy that was salvageable, a guy that you would have on the roster and continue to develop.
Yes. 3 weeks ago.
You hesitated. You didn't think so?
I hesitate because of this. If Blake Bortles doesn't play well this year, is there any doubt in your mind they're changing quarterbacks?
No.
Right. So do you think that Brandon Allen is a guy that's going to be a starter or a backup here next year?
No. I could have seen him as a backup, yeah.
Perhaps. But chances are you are not letting your future starter out the door when you release Brandon Allen.
It's not tragic.
So
no, I get
in that.
That
sense, if Blake Bortles doesn't turn career around, you probably have a reset of the quarterback room in 2018. If they didn't see Brandon Allen being a part of that, if they weren't very optimistic he was going to be a part of that, then I understand the mood to release him. It's a topic today. I don't know that it's something you're going to look back on in the long run and forget and regret.
We'll be done with the topic today.
Right.
There are a lot of people that thought Brandon Allen was a guy who should have been in the conversation, not in this room, right?
Right.
When the quarterback competition was open in mid-August.
Never underestimate the difference between a regular season and preseason in terms of game planning.
Absolutely.
And, you don't game plan in the preseason. So, and I never underestimate the difference. When they look at a guy against starters compared to against third team, it's a dramatically different look.
I thought he was your next Chad Henne, right? I know most people don't develop backup quarterbacks. But you know, when you draft a guy in the sixth round, and he's got a nice arm, and he has mobility, he looks like the kind of guy, coach's son,
right.
Understands the game, looked like a guy to me that you could develop. Look, Chad Henne makes $4.5 million. This kid makes $600,000.
Right.
Right? Not even yet. In time. I thought you could develop your backup quarterback. Clearly, that's not the way they're looking at this.
Yeah, they didn't see him developing into a backup. And I think for this year, regardless of what people thought, regardless of what people think of Chad, they've seen him. Oh, we've seen this. Why not give the kid a shot? They clearly believe that Chad Henne if Blake Bortles falters, it's much closer over here, Chad Henne, Blake Bortles, than it is Chad Henne, Brandon Allen over here. So I get the difference. I thought 3 or 4 weeks ago that Brandon Allen was probably going to get released after the last couple of games.
So you're prescient. You saw this coming.
Well, and you talked to people, and there wasn't a whole lot of feel. Doug Marone came out first, second day of training camp and said, Chad Henne's the backup. It was not a competition at that point between Brandon Allen and Chad Henne. So I thought maybe that had changed in the last couple of weeks with Brandon Allen playing well. Apparently it didn't.
All right. So Jaguars Drive Time on TuneIn Radio and on Twitter. One of the things that we'll do every day is big things. John, big things could be one. It could be seven. It could be 14. Today we have five big things. And we'd like to introduce you now to Ashlyn Sullivan, the newest member of our team. And she will have big things for us every week. So what's first up? First of all, good morning, Ashlyn.
Good morning to you guys. Can't wait to spend this Monday morning with you and Friday mornings. Pretty excited.
Mondays and Fridays, 8:30 Eastern Time live. And, of course, it'll go up on Jaguars.com. You're the social media person. How old are you?
22.
22, right. So we're going to count on you for all the social media stuff so I don't have to mess with it, because I think I famously have called the hashtag a pound sign.
Just once. You learn from it, though.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that I have. We'll find out where it goes. Anyway, welcome. What's the first big thing on the list this morning, Ashlyn?
So the first big thing for this week is the devastation that Hurricane Harvey recently caused on the Houston area. Now Hurricane Irma coming towards Florida. We don't really know what's going to happen. And now this Sunday with the Jaguars and Houston game, none of us work for the Weather Channel. We don't even know if Hurricane Irma is going to hit Florida. However, what do we think is that impact for this game? Now, I think now seeing the Houston Astros go back to Houston and play baseball, I think the NFL is going to make it happen in Houston.
You know, you're right. I think it is. And, John, when I woke up this morning and looked to see if there had been any decision made, I saw nothing. It's not even a question anymore, it appears, that they'll play the opener in Houston this week. Despite the devastation, flooding, debris everywhere, they feel like playing the game there is not a hindrance to the recovery, doesn't cause any problems.
Well, I sort of assumed I didn't hear anything over the weekend that we would be going to Houston this weekend. I talked to John McClain, Houston Chronicle NFL writer, last night, sort of talking more about the game than about the situation in Houston. Didn't even really ask if he thought it'd be played, because the whole tone of our conversation was that the game's being played there. He sort of cited the whole, look, this is a community that's rallying behind this. Talked about J.J. Watt running out with the Texas flag on Sunday and the spirit that will give the community. No sign from listening to John last night that they weren't going to play this game in Houston.
Have you seen this tweet? Have you seen? We'll get to Watt in just a moment. But I have to point out, $18.5 million that he raised, that he's called for. And so when you talk about John McClain talking about that on Sunday night, buckle up, it's coming.
Yeah, and John mentioned when he comes out with the flag, and he said, I'm only assuming that'll happen, but the visual is not hard to picture. It'll be as loud as that stadium's ever been, and you can imagine if you saw the game in New Orleans a few years back, Hurricane Katrina, the aftermath of that. I don't think this is quite that because of the time. My sense is this is not quite that, but it will be an enormous roar, and it could be a story that goes on all season if the Texans get hot and rally behind this.
Well, and go back to Ashlyn. It was one of our other big things. So jump it up on the list here, Ashlyn. The guy is a superstar. Gotten even his legend, his fame. What do you call it?
Honestly, I think he's very similar to the Tim Tebow of our era. I mean, obviously Tim Tebow was nowhere near the talent on the field, but you see how he's using his football power for good. And I think that's awesome and it's great. But I wanted to ask you guys, yes, they'll come out with passion, they'll come out with drive on the field, but do you see what's going on in Houston as almost maybe a distraction to football?
Well, you know, my thought was they might not play the game here this week for this reason. There are still people that are living in hotels, mm-hmm. right? There are people who are, they're not people, deceased people that they're finding. They're finding right. people who drowned or who suffered in the flood. There is a level of devastation, and it seemed to me like maybe it would have been smart at one point not to try to force a football game into this. And then Watt gets behind the idea. If he wasn't an icon before, he's certainly an icon now. I mean, he is Houston.
Does this mean I have to like J.J. Watt?
I think it does. I think secretly inside you did.
I'll respect him. How about that? I'll respect him.
I think secretly inside you did.
I still don't have to like all the flexing and the ball stuff before the game.
He's a hell of a showman. There's no doubt about it.
But it's easy for Jaguars fans. Jaguars fans hate J.J. Watt. Yeah.
Well, he's destroyed your offensive line.
You can't deny what he's done. You can't deny the good and the number. $18 million is a phenomenal number. So in reference to the game being played there, I'm not privy to the conversations between the NFL and Houston, but I'm sure they've been ongoing. And at some point, the city of Houston and the people involved, the team wanted to play the game. It sounds like the momentum is for that. So if the city of Houston wants to do it, I think Shad Khan's message last Monday or Tuesday was, hey, whatever they want, we'll do.
All right, so that's Jaguars Drive Time. We're just getting started here. Very first morning of it, Labor Day morning. Hopefully you're going to enjoy a nice day in the sun wherever you're at. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, more big things and headlines for you here as the first week of the regular season is upon us.
Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you've got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Back on Jaguars Drive Time, Monday, Labor Day, week one in the National Football League. The sun's coming up in Jacksonville. Hopefully it's a beautiful day. Jaguars will be on the practice field later today. Obviously, we'll have some time to talk to the players and hear from head coach Doug Marrone. And all of that will be up on Jaguars.com. Back now to big things. And Ashlyn, let's go on to our third big thing for Monday morning. What you got?
Well, the Jaguars' offensive line has been a hot topic all throughout the preseason. Everyone knows that. But this week, an executive vice president of football operations, Tom Coughlin, says he saw some improvement against the Atlanta Falcons and even went as far to say that this position now has depth. Now, I think we won't know until we go up against Houston on Sunday really how much depth in that position we really have.
John, it's timely that we're talking about the offensive line after we talked about J.J. Watt.
Sure.
Right? Who didn't play last year and still the Texans were able to get a lot of pressure against the Jaguars, especially in Houston. So what did you see in Atlanta from the guard position? Because I'm not sure.
Boy, I hope Tom's right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know,
it's all I can think of.
And I say that way because everything you saw in the preseason was that this team struggled to run big time, struggled to pass protect at times, but the run game was more of the issue to me. The Jaguars side of it is they really don't scheme in the preseason to run the ball, and scheming to run is a big deal in the NFL right now. They also didn't have Leonard Fournette. So those are two factors that you say, okay, maybe that gives them the pop that they want. Because this team's going to want to run. It doesn't matter what they did in the preseason. They're not going to change their philosophy. They want to run. They're Leonard Fournette. They're going to try to grind it out, so forth and so on. It's hard for me to picture. You usually don't come out of nowhere to be a power running great offensive line. You usually have to see signs of it. We haven't seen signs of it. So it's a huge concern. If they turn it around in a week, more power to them. But I get why fans are concerned about this area because the team inside the building is concerned about the area.
Well, you've got Jeremy Parnell, who will see plenty of J.J. Watt, but you know, having seen the Texans over the years, you know he moves all over the place. Mm-hmm. And Cam Robinson,